going by Pato O'Ward. First attempt, first run of the day. How'd it feel out there?
Really good, man. I'm really, really happy with the car. The car was behaving really well, very predictable. So that was really good for us. I'm happy where we're at, and we'll just see what everyone else got.
I know it's early in the day here, but do you feel like you have a fast 12 car without having to go out there again?
I do. I think this should transfer us into the fast 12, yes.
Awesome, man. Good luck.
Thanks, man.
It looked really more downforce to trim out of it yet?
Yeah, we went fairly conservative. Okay. But I think, you know, when you start trimming, you start risking a little bit on how... You know, and how much consistency do you want to put on the table, right? How much are you able to afford to lose? So there's a trade-off there. So I think that we're in a really good window. I think tomorrow we'll probably trim a bit more if it's identical to today. But it really depends on where the wind's going to go. All right, see you.
Joined by Arenas VK, currently as of 11:30 P1. How'd your first run feel?
First run felt pretty good, pretty fast too. So. Very pleased with it. A little bit surprised by the speed, but it was the car was great. Chevy Power was great, and I was feeling great. So stayed flat for four laps and comfortably flat. So.
Are you still pretty conservative on the downforce right now?
We try to extract as much out of the car as possible, of course. But I think there's still a little bit more in it. I'm happy we practiced this morning. Which made for a little warmer engine coming into qualifying, but I think it was the right way to go, and we actually made a few adjustments after that practice session.
How different is it today versus yesterday out there?
It's a different track it's compared to yesterday, and it's a track I like a lot more today. So that wind was insane, and turn three was scary.
Is there anything you can get from a day like yesterday where the wind is just nuts and it's not really accurate for how the track is today and tomorrow and hopefully race day?
We did a few balance checks yesterday just to see what we can learn with aero, but that's about everything we did. And I think yesterday, if it would do anything, it would distract us a little from a different track today.
What kind of information did you relay to your teammates that can help them out on their runs?
I think the biggest thing is the data between the engineers. For me, you know, I stay flat four laps, squeeze my butt cheeks, and and that's all. So I think data-wise, the other guys in the team are learning a lot. And I think we extract a lot out of the car, and I feel very strong.
Awesome, man. Good luck.
Thank you.
It felt really good. I mean, compared to yesterday, I think anything feels good because that was a full sketch show. So I think it was probably a bit too easy of a run. Like, we could have probably trimmed a bit more. We could have nailed our gear ratio a bit better. We had a big hit on the rev limiter in our third lap, which was kind of weird. Have to look at that, but we probably cost us like a mile per hour on that lap. So a big chunk on the average, unfortunately. So we kind of disappointed we didn't nail the run, but I mean, for the moment, it looks like we're sitting somewhat comfortable.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
But we were planning to run again.
Even if you're comfortable at the top towards the end, you're going to run again today?
Yeah, I think so, yeah.
Why not, right? I mean, sorry? Conditions were close to ideal when you ran. I mean,
yeah,
what is it like after yesterday?
Running should be simple. Just put on your shoes and go. And yet, when you try to learn about how to get better at it, especially as you age, you're confronted with conflicting advice, complicated workouts, and confusing nutrition trends that just won't work for you. On The Planted Runner, I'll share exactly how to run faster, longer, and feel great doing it at any age because you don't have time to waste. I'm Coach Claire Bartholik, and I went from not running at all in my late 30s to finishing a marathon in 2:58 at age 42, all on a plant-based diet. I've helped hundreds of runners achieve new personal records well into their 60s and even 70s. with science-backed training, plant-based nutrition, and proven mental strength techniques. Each episode of The Planted Runner is like a private coaching session on the run, where you'll learn from me and the guests I interview. You'll get actionable lessons to help you become a better runner every week and reach goals you never thought possible. Whether you're training for your first 5K or your 50th marathon, take along The Planted Runner on your next run. Let me show you how your best running is still ahead of you.
Hey, you go out there and it's like calm seas almost, right?
It's just easy, man. Like, yeah. It felt easy because you're... Yesterday, we really had to work in the car. We had to change our tools every corner.
Oh, yeah.
Even now, we have to change the tool every corner, but it's in comparison, it was good to have that prep yesterday going into today, because I feel like we're... It just felt way easier. So it's nice.
Do you like this format, Vince? I mean, coming back tomorrow, maybe top 12 and going for it? I mean,
it doesn't really change much. I think it's kind of same. You attack it in the same way. You know, you try to get a good first run, get through, and then you just get another run if you're really quick.
Yeah. Thanks, man.
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Thanks.
Was it as exciting as you thought it would be?
It was easier than I thought it would be. I think the condition today are very... Very nice and gentle to us. There's no wind, it's quite cold. So we've got good grip, and we played too conservative in qualifying, to be honest. We had too much downforce in the car, so it felt good, but I don't think it's good enough for the fast 12, so we may have to go again later.
Is this a bucket list moment, though, for you, from a check mark standpoint of qualifying for an Indy 500? How would you put it in perspective?
I think the race will be. Obviously, I'm super excited to be here today and do the qualifying, but I think the 29th of May 2022 will be something big for me.
But to go as fast as you did and know you can go faster, how exciting or cool is that?
It's really good. It's really good. I'm happy. I'm watching the others at the same time. Takuma 232.3. It's not a very first lap, but you know it's cool to be here. You've got a lot of people. It's just something huge in motorsport in the 500. So you know, even Fernando Alonso came and did a few years ago. So I'm happy to be here. Obviously, a lot to learn, but excited about it.
So. Thank you, man.
When you go back out later, are you expecting to trim some downforce? Any changes that you'll make before you head back out?
Yeah, I think we will trim some downforce and see what it do. But it all depends on the condition, you know. We're expecting wind. It's not here. If the wind comes, then obviously it's not. We're not going to go out. But if the wind doesn't come, why not?
Thank you, man.
Devlin G. Francesco, first run done. How'd it feel?
I think to what we expected, you know, had a bit too big of a bobble on lap four, so I think we need to go out and review that, and then we'll see what we got later.
Do you feel like you checked off like a life accomplishment here? You qualified, you're in the race, you might run again, but you're in the race.
Very much so, but you know, our aim is to make the fast 12, so we're going to go out, we're going to try and make things a bit better, and we'll see what we got.
With that bobble, was that a product of running too little downforce, or was it just a little gust of wind or something else?
I don't know. I think we got a review. We did trim before we went out there. I said, look, after we saw what the 21 car did with that speed, that was pretty outstanding. So I definitely said, let's trim, and I'll just keep my foot in it. And I did my best. I did my best till lap four, and that bobble happened. But, you know, that happens sometimes. We'll go out and review, and we'll improve later.
How different is the track today from yesterday? Is there anything you can carry over?
I really did no running yesterday, so there's really not much to tell you.
How did this compare to what you anticipated experiencing qualified for the Indy 500?
I think it was everything that I was expected. It was definitely harder than expected.
Yeah, why is that?
Just with the balance, having to get after the tools, you know, having those baubles, you know, it comes fast at 230 miles an hour, let me tell you.
Plus you got some adrenaline going,
of course,
too, right?
Yeah, of course. Yeah.
Appreciate it, man.
Thank you.
J.R. Hildebrand joins us. How'd your first run go?
Yeah, not bad. I mean, I feel like we thought there'd be a little more pace in it, but at the same time, you're making a lot of guesses from a day like yesterday to today, and this morning even was a little bit kind of frantic, and we had a couple little issues. So, you know, we got caught kind of in between gears and some little things like that compound to lose you some speed, but... Overall, the guys have done an awesome job. Car handled the best it's been, for sure.
Are you likely to head back out for a second run later?
You know, I'm sort of angling for it. Yeah. It'll just depend on whether the conditions continue to stay sort of like they are, if they do, then we definitely think we could go make another run and get a little more out of it. You know, if the wind starts picking up or cloud cover burns off, then at that point you probably start to think twice about it for us, for where we've been at. So we'll kind of see where things look like they're shaking out. You know, another 10 cars go and we kind of get a feel for the timing of when we might go out. You know, as we're standing here, like, the sun's coming out, so you know, we'll see how it goes.
What is it about this place that suits your fancy, if you follow my drift? What is it about Indianapolis Motor Speedway? You seem to be able to roll in here if you've got a decent car and go pretty fast.
Yeah, man, I just love it here. It's just, this is like where the cars are meant to be. You know, for us, it's what this whole thing is about. So, and obviously, you know, to be able to come in here as a one-off when I've done it 11 consecutive years, you know, I'm not losing out to the other guys as much, but, you know, just show up and do a street course race after not being in seat for a year is like a lot to deal with. And there's always a lot of variables. Whereas around here, the track's pretty similar year to year. Like, once you start figuring stuff out, you always got to be open to new things. And that's actually a fun part of having like Kirkwood here and some young guys on the team is they kind of don't know what they don't know. They go out, they try some different stuff, and maybe there's still something to learn from that. But I clicked with kind of what was required, the attitude you've got to have around this place, you know, how you got to look at practice qualifying, the race, all that stuff. I felt like I had a good feel for that all pretty early in my career, and it's served me well since then.
Kind of trimmed a bit more ahead of the run, or is it mostly the gears?
We were sitting there trimming on the pit lane, yep. You know, but at a point, you're like, I don't know, are we going to get the balance of all this right? We've trimmed like 3 degrees of rear wing out just sitting here, you know? And so, I don't know. I mean, there's a couple little things for us, like gears and blockers and stuff like that, that'd be like free speed. Like, we'd probably go back out. If the conditions were exactly the same, at the same trim level, we go back out, we'd pick up half a mile an hour. But, you know, I also think we're right in an area where it's like you might need half a mile an hour to pick up like a couple of spots, you know. So it's we'll have to play that by ear a little bit, because I don't think we've got like a ton of headroom if the conditions start to go away from us a little bit.
Santino Ferrucci, how'd your first run go?
Yeah, you know, car's really good. It's we just keep getting these vibrations in our right front, and honestly just messed up our run, and we proved this morning we're faster than that, and I know we're faster than that, so it's just a damn shame, man.
With track temps, I think 13 degrees higher than they were this morning, do you think you could sneak into the, where are you right now, ninth, maybe the back half of the fast 12?
No, there's no way we're going to make it in. We got to go run again, so it's too competitive out there, and, you know, our best shot was right there, and, you know, I'm just kind of pissed off at that, but you know, these guys work so damn hard, and you get something that's out of your control. So
is there any downforce you can take out of it or anything like that to help you out?
I mean, it's not even that. I mean, that's the same car we ran this morning with that's doing 237s all day long, so it's not anything on the car side or on the motor side. Everybody did their job. It's just a variable that's out of your control, and it's just stupid. So,
well, good luck, man.
Thank you.
How'd your first run go?
Super, super easy. Way too easy. Yes. We knew that the weather was good and there's no wind, and we trimmed and it just still wasn't enough. I mean, even after Takuma's run, he said it was a piece of cake, and we went out and, yeah, I mean, it was like, you know, it's been unfortunate. You know, I did the first lap, I saw the dash, wasn't anywhere near 233, and I was like, this is unfortunate.
What kind of adjustments can you make if you get back out there for a second run later today?
Probably going to maybe just take the wing off. I don't know. Like, I mean, we're already so, you know, we made such big changes before going out, and it still just wasn't enough. So, and the car's a piece of cake. The car's amazing. It's so good. And it showed, you know, throughout all these practice sessions and the tough conditions yesterday. So if we do get a run again, I think, yeah, we're going to definitely just take the wing out, rip it off.
This track is warming up pretty quickly. Is there a real shot to go faster if you go out a second time?
I don't know. That is a really good question. I really hope so. I really do. Mainly just because I feel like the car should really be up there, and it's been unfortunate from our end. So, praying. That's the goal.
With a car that feels easy to drive out there, does that make you feel at least a little bit better about race day, that you should be able to have a pretty competitive car out there?
Yeah, definitely. You know, we also still have, you know, more days of testing for race-wise, but... yeah, I mean, when we kind of gave up on, you know, Friday for quality trims. Thursday was still very good, very decent. We just had to work on, you know, trying to time the runs and getting the final pass done. But we were easily able to, like, stay behind people and follow and save the tires. So I'm very confident going into the race.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
You and Flo, you've been some of the only ones that have been able to get in the top five later in the day in the running. Are your cars that strong that you're able to do that even though you weren't the first ones out?
You said it. Yeah. What do you think? So, yeah, I think the goal was to keep in the top 12. We did go a little bit conservative, but, you know, if you think about it, this year we gained actually 3 more positions, right? It's not the fast 9. So we thought the move that we made, it's going to get us in. Let's see what the weather's going to hold. We might, if it gets better, we might need to go out again, but for right now, it's pretty solid.
If you stay around 5th, is that about the cutoff for you to go again, or is it going to have to be like 10th?
It has to be... Yeah, probably 9th. From 9th on, then you start getting ready because a lot of people are going to try.
You feel like you have a pole position car tomorrow afternoon?
If I have one? Maybe. Yes, we do. If we get everything right, I mean, it's, you know.
If everything goes right.
Exactly, and this is what people don't understand. This place, not just qualifying, but the race, you need 1,000 things to go right. And one thing going wrong, you're not accomplishing. So it's tricky.
Well, we wish you luck.
Thank you.
Jimmy Johnson, how'd it feel to get your first Indy 500 qualifying run out of the way?
That's top shelf. It was so cool, so fun. Not only the experience driving, but sitting there at the end of pit lane, looking around, had a couple quiet moments to take it all in. It was awesome.
Did you make any last-minute adjustments as you saw guys before you go out there, or were you set?
We were so early. We were kind of a test dummy for our teammates. And I told Eric before I got in the car to just make whatever trim adjustments he saw fit. He asked me if I wanted to know, and I was like, nah. No, I don't want to know. I want to be in my own little world.
Will you go back out there for a second attempt later if you have to?
It's just circumstantial. If we're near that 12 range, then probably so. If the weather conditions improve and the track gets cooler, probably so. But I would be happy just sitting tight, leaving the car in the garage.
Yeah.
I had to run off a while ago. You had to run off a while ago to do another interview when I first started with you. But we touched on the bucket list aspect of it. But do you feel like you've hooked up with a team here that you can just plumb the depths of and get you through, you know what I mean? These kind of like trying times from yesterday to today, the way things change, et cetera. How much does that benefit you, Jimmy?
It's such a benefit. And I feel like I've underutilized the privilege I have on road courses, driving for Chip Ganassi and having all the resources we do. But, man, it's just tough, and I've got to spend more time to figure it out. But to come to the ovals and know that I have a shot and I'm able to really use what I have around me feels really good.
What is it like to – and you've been a story for a long time, but you're one of the – maybe the big story here today, you know, and all kinds of – what is it like to be in that spotlight, so to speak, and know you kind of got it to deliver too?
I love that opportunity. I love that moment. I love that pressure. I learned a lot about myself winning those cup championships. It's not comfortable all the time having that bright spotlight on you, but any athlete wants that moment. And every athlete's always curious, how am I going to handle that moment? And to myself, I've learned that I can handle those moments most times. And here I am in another one of those, and I hope to handle it right.
You got one of the biggest cheers from the crowd this morning when you went out on track. I mean, it's pretty good timing that you're coming and doing this for the first time as we're going to have a full house again, right?
That's incredible. That's I heard them cheer for many others. I'm happy to hear they were loud for me. That's cool.
Yeah, absolutely.
Ed Carpenter's up next. Ed, had the first run feel out there? It's getting a little hotter out.
Yeah, it's getting tougher for sure. You know, I left my room to come out and run, and at that point, I thought we were going to be up there fighting with Renus on the run, and then I got to pit lane and was watching Dixon and then others start to struggle, and that really told me that the conditions were changing because those guys are strong. You know, so we're 7th. I don't think that's terrible for the time of day that we ran and with the track temp where it's at. So hopefully it'll be good enough to hang on. Hopefully it stays hot the rest of the day and we can stay in there.
Do you think relatively probably the top half of the Fast 12 right now is set for the most part unless conditions change?
Yeah, it's going to have to cool off a ton, I think, for anyone to challenge the top three anyway. You know, Palou's run was pretty dang strong because he was a couple in front of me. and someone's putting up a good lap now, Joseph. So we'll just have to wait and see. You know, anything can happen.
What can you give Connor to make it into the Fast 12? He's 16th right now, so he's not far off. What kind of setup change can he make to bump up there?
We have the cars. Just got to go out and do it.
Awesome. Good luck, man.
Thanks.
First run, maybe not how you wanted to go. The conditions in the last 10 minutes have gone from sunny to now windy as hell again out there. So what kind of changes do you think you can make on a potential second run? If you know anything, or if you can tell us.
I don't know. I've driven here in the wind before, and you know, we struggled with it yesterday. We've even struggled in our race car. As soon as it gets windy, you know, our 45 hybrid Honda just falls apart. Not actually falls apart, but like the balance falls apart, and yeah. it's really confusing. I think our warm-up this morning was pretty good. I think, you know, we went like 231, 230, 230, 229, you know, so certainly I felt like we had not pace to be in the top 12 for sure, but certainly not last row. So I think for us right now, we'll do a hopeful dance where the rain doesn't come. And in terms of like changes, I don't know, because it's something that's been affecting us and we've been thinking about it all week. So, you know, if someone's got a rabbit that they can pull out of the hat, then I'd be happy, but then also would want it, you know, 3 days ago. So, I don't know, but it's pretty confusing.
Good luck, man.
Thank you.
So you qualified out there right now, you're 25th. Conditions are super tricky. It's getting windy again. Do you think you'll take a gander at a second attempt at some point this afternoon, if it doesn't rain?
I mean, it's probably looking quite likely, because our first lying lap in the practice this morning was 3 miles an hour faster than our fastest now. So we know the pace is in the car, even though this morning we had some moments which we didn't really want, or at least I didn't.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think we overreacted a bit to that. Difficult to say. I mean, you can always say stuff afterwards.
What can you trim out any more downforce to pick up some speed that way, or?
I don't think trimming is the solution. I think the balance for our car isn't really set that well. I mean, it seems to be very sensitive to wind, so taking downforce off is the least thing I want to do right now.
You having similar problems to Graham and Jack then? It's kind of a team-wide sort of issue that you're having, or do you feel like your car specifically is having some different issues?
I think me and Jack has always been very similar in terms of comments and what we want from the car, which helps. I think Graham is in a slightly different direction in terms of what he wants and what he feels. He's got more experience here than any of us, and seeing him qualify down there, I think, says a bit. We've just got to sort it out for all three guys.
Pure, you know, with the way things changed from the morning to the afternoon, even with the way things changed from 11 to when you ran, was it just a kind of a pure crapshoot? How would you describe it, Simon?
Well, you just saw it, McLaren, you know, there's Montoya, with all the experience he has, all the wins, struggled, and then you got his teammates in the top three. So it's the luck of the draw, unfortunately, but it's what's frustrating for a driver, but it's a tradition of the speedway. It's what it is. You just have to deal with it. Certainly, we feel we have a lot of speed. We just can't hold on to that speed with the degradation. The sun came out on my run, and the track got hot, so it's what it is.
I asked Ed Garbiter if they ought to, like, work out a handicap system for when you run and you get this many more, much more speed. It would never work, right? But it is not a totally fair situation.
Well, it's not totally fair, but it's not a balance of performance either. Yeah. So it's Indianapolis. It's how it is. And each year it's different, and that's why we keep coming back, keep trying. But to me, you know, I feel very fortunate to be in the position that I'm at, and come in content for wins every year.
And one of the quick, where you ended up, do you definitely run again this afternoon if you can? I mean, to try to get the 12, or?
With the speed the car showed me on lap one, absolutely I'll try again. But we got to get better conditions. But yes, I'm excited about the speed we had for that run.
How's it feel after your first run? Conditions are wild today again.
Yeah, it's just changing every moment, which is I guess that's this place is notorious for that. Starts one way and ends way differently within the 2 hours, but we're dodging rain. The guys up front got lucky. They barely dodged the rain. The track cooled down a ton. The wind stopped, and they ran some blistering times, and then as it went on, it got hotter and hotter. The wind picked up, and now we got cloud cover again. I was one of the first cars to go out with cloud cover, so the track was still hot, but that wind is kind of detrimental to time, to be honest. It does two way different things on either end of the track, and you're trying to mitigate that the entire time during your run, which is not an easy feat to do. But I'm happy with the performance that we just had. We know we've got a very good race car. We're feeling very racy in the practices, and we'll go back to race power and race trim, and we'll go from there. It's a long race, 500 miles, obviously, so long way to go.
You sounded almost like a TV weatherman there as you went through it.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah.
It is what it was like.
As a driver and as a team owner or engineer or whatever it is, you're pretty much a weatherman too. We've got every single app and data acquisition that we can kind of get to predict what the weather's going to do. But at the end of the day, we have to go out at a certain time. It doesn't matter what the weather's going to be. We're stuck with it. So, but yeah, you can say we're weathermen.
Kyle, I mean, the point I'm making is you just had a hell of a run. It wasn't as fast as everybody else, but you were putting 100% into it, right? I mean, you understand what I'm saying? I mean,
yeah.
That's about what you could get out of that.
Yeah,
car,
I
right?
mean, of course, I'll be putting 100% in. That's no doubt. I had my hands full out there, though. It might have looked easy on the TV, but it wasn't easy. So I guess we got through today. That's a big box to check off. We didn't do anything big or anything that would be detrimental to our 2 weeks, and should be good going from
Maybe
here.
Maybe you have to come up with a simulator for the people can buy online and put them through what you just described.
You can't. I don't think
it's
you
crazy,
can. You
it?
Can't simulate it. Yeah. You can't simulate the feeling of this place.
Thanks, brother.
Hey there, and welcome to the Joy of Paddle podcast, hosted by me, Minter Dial, a veteran of the paddle tennis world, and sponsored by Paddle 1969. Whether you're a paddle tennis aficionado, just beginning, or have never even heard of paddle, or padel, as it's called in North America, this is an exhilarating new show that delves into the captivating stories of notable paddle personalities worldwide. In its inaugural season, you'll be treated to exclusive anecdotes, valuable tips, life lessons, and humorous moments shared by esteemed professional paddle players, industry insiders, and passionate paddle enthusiasts. With each season aligning with the Pro Tour, you can anticipate 2 engaging episodes per month. The Joy of Paddle podcast is part of the Evergreen Podcast Network, where you can find other great shows in a number of categories, such as sports, health and wellness, true crime, and fiction. To find out more about Evergreen Podcasts, go to www.evergreenpodcast.com. Vamos!